My name is Michelle O'Roo and I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date is the 1st of September 2009. The time is now 6:27 a.m. Could you tell me your name, your age and where you come from, please?
I'm Karen Fernandez and I'm 30 years old. Actually, I'm going to be 31 now in another month. And I'm from an island in Goa on the west coast of India.
What's it called?
It's called Divar. I have no idea what it means, but it's just a beautiful sort of small little island. It's one of the only islands in Goa.
So what are you doing in the UK? And how long have you lived here?
I've been here for a few years now, but I went to St. Martin's and I did a master's there. And then after that, it just wasn't expecting to really stay on, to be honest with you, because I had sort of, planned to finish with a lovely sort of academic experience when you're abroad and then head back. But it's just opportunity sort of came along and, when in a new place, I sort of felt, got sucked into the whole newness of the place and the people and just the way of life as such. And it's been a couple of years since then now. So that's...
What was it like being in a city compared to the little island that you described? Was it a big culture shock?
No, not really. I mean, I've always, from a very, very young age, been travelling a lot. Like I said, I was a professional roller skater, so I used to travel for nationals and all sorts of championships from a very, very young age. So I've had that sort of worldly exposure from a young age, so I wasn't really expecting, I didn't really look at it as a culture shock, but for me the newness was all about sort of trying to get involved in, what was not really part of my place, for example, and sort of seeing how your interests match in with a new place as well, and everything sort of seemed really, really easy to get along with, and it just sort of one thing led to another, so I didn't really see it as a culture shock, to be honest.
What were you studying at St. Martin's?
I did a master's in business design. It was a year's sort of full time intense.
And what does that entail?
You mean the course, and what sort of experience? I think it was a lot to do for me. It was. I was already working as a professional back home, and 2 years within the whole work sector, I sort of felt like really sort of one day I woke up in the morning and I was really shocked and I thought, hang on, this can't be going on. The same thing can't be going on forever. And I just felt it was too early for me to sort of feel really, really settled in. In a job, in a really, in a sort of design job, because I'm an interior architect by profession, and so I thought, I really felt like, I would like to sort of add something more, take on something new, and just explore a new place as such. So I never really thought of any other place than London, to be honest. The States wasn't anything in mind.
Where did you study interior architecture?
Back home in India. Same place. So that's, I'm not sure if I've answered your question actually, because one thing led to the other.
Going back to this morning, how did you hear about this project? Can you remember?
Artichoke. I did something, I was part of, I don't know, I think it was the Sultan's Elephant.
Mm-hmm.
And I got involved with that. I don't know from, I can't even remember right now from, because it's been such a long time. But I was involved in some way in the Sultan's, in that exhibition. And
what did you do?
I was just a bystander, a viewer, but I don't know how I had access to, I suppose it was, the arts events that I got access to. But I was just enjoying the show like pretty much everybody. And I got an email from them. And they said, this the One Another exhibition's coming up. Anthony Comley's got these ideas. And they said, you know, if you want to be part of it, just fill in the application. And there was a little brief about it. So I just, you know, it was just something new to do. So again, so I just filled in the application. And here I am.
What do you think it is about this project that appeals to you?
I thought about the, I mean, I, you know, I sort of looked at the other plants, and they're all, you know, glorified individuals as such. And the fourth plinth being empty, for me, it was, I just thought it would be a great chance, a great sense of freedom, actually, to be able to go up there and just be yourself, you know, without any, sort of without any worldly glorification as such by, from anybody. It was just this whole idea of being yourself, or being, you know, doing something that you have an idea of. And just sort of as an expression, actually, I thought it was, you know, it's a great idea to sort of be able to self-express yourself, because in a city like London, sometimes I think, you know, you have all these things from outside that really sort of hit you from all over the place. And the idea of sort of just standing up there, being alone by yourself, can really sort of shake up a lot of things and, you know, give you new ideas to just self-express yourself. So for me, that was really, really, that's what really struck me. And I got really excited by that. And I said, yeah, I'd love to sort of be up there. Also be able to sort of paint and maybe sketch. I've got my charcoal sketches along, so I think I'm going to do a little bit of artwork.
How are you going to spend your time up there?
I've got my roller skates. So I'm going to put my roller skates on, do a sort of still routine, because I can't be rolling the others, I'll just fall off on the net. So I'll do a little routine on a piece of music. And take a break, and in that break, sort of, do a little bit of charcoal sketching. And yeah, probably skate back again, say hello, wish good mornings to everybody. That's about it. And I'm also raising awareness for a charity organization called Mission Direct.
What do they do?
They're a Christian charity organization that run programs to build in Africa. They run programs to sort of build community spaces like houses, schools, that sort of thing. They're very, very involved. They invite people from all over the world basically to take part in. So they organize these little groups, and whoever's interested can go out there and spend a couple of weeks, a couple of days with the local people, and literally from with your bare hands, you know, construct buildings and spaces for the children out there. In
how
Zambia.
How did you become involved with them? How did you hear about them?
I got involved with them through a very, very dear friend of mine. I'm not really involved as such. I'm involved through him. And he's, you know, he went there on a group with them, on a trip with them, and showed me a couple of pictures and sort of, you know, spoke a lot about the charity. And he works for them now. So I've, you know, it's something that is quite close to heart as well, because he's quite close to heart. So I've, it's, you know, I sort of wanted to involve and include him in some way as part of the whole plinth experience. And I thought this would be the only way I could do it.
So how will you be raising awareness of that mission?
I've got a little poster that I probably put up there. I sort of have little contact details, and you know, people sort of want to ask me questions about them, about the organization, they're welcome to get in touch with the contact details on there, or they can ask me, so you know, I can tell them what I know.
Well, where did you first become, when were you first into skating? How did that happen?
My older sister started. And she, I mean, it was just something that my mom sort of encouraged me to do as well, because she started off. For some reason, I just, you know, I sort of got really involved in it. And I skated for 9 years professionally. It's just a lot of hard work, sort of waking up really, really early in the morning, before for championships, you know, practicing.
So
and
what
that
was
sort of routine.
As a professional skater and championships, what was it?
I was an artistic roller skater. So artistic roller skating is basically all about sort of a, you know, a proper routine. You have, you compose on a piece of music, you have a set time basically. They give you 3 minutes, 4 minutes, and you come up with a routine of, you know, a mixture of ballet and spins and jumps and footwork and that sort of thing. Sounds a bit acrobatic, but that's what it is. You know, it's something very technical, which, you know, is I mean, people really think roller skating is all about sort of just skateboarding, which is fantastic as well, or online rolling. But the other side too, I mean, I really think roller skating is not really given enough sort of credit, if you may speak.
Why
or it's not
that
cool. I have no idea. I suppose football and cricket are the, you know, the world the more manly games as such. I don't know. I have really no idea. I think it has a lot to do with, because it's a very individual sort of one-on-one sort of sport. I think, you know, that's why its popularity is not that much. But if you look at cricket and football, they're very much team, you know, it's all about the team. It's all about sort of almost like a big community in one sense. So I think that's why, I suppose that's why it's, you know, those sports are more popular than roller skating.
What kind of music did you like to choose to skate?
I was thinking of something funky. But then, you know, I had second thoughts about it, because I said 7 o'clock in the morning would be a bit much. But when I used to roller skate as a professional, it was all on classical pieces like Mozart and a little bit of Bach as well. But my mum was, you know, she had a really good ear for music. And I never realized at that age that I was actually skating on Mozart pieces. It was only many, many years later on that I realized, you know, who the musician was and the compositions as such. But she used to sort of mix and match, you know, a little bit of Bach and a little bit of Mozart together, and she would really sort of put pieces of music together, and then I'd you know, build up on my footwork for the whole piece. So it was like you're designing your own little 3-minute program. Which is great fun, actually.
And where are your parents based now?
They live back home.
Are they going to be... They know you're doing this, presumably.
They know I'm doing this. I'm doing this. In fact, you know, I was really surprised because they sent me a little sort of wishing me luck and a little message from mum and dad on the website. And I was really, really touched. I had no idea they'd actually seen it.
Will they be watching on the internet?
They will. I think they, you know, it's sort of midday right now, so I think they'd be looking forward to it.
Are you looking forward to it?
I am a little excited, very excited, and a little nervous.
What are you nervous about?
I suppose, I don't know what to expect as such, that's what I think. You know, but that's the exciting bit. So, I'm quite excited.
How would you describe yourself as a person?
That's a hard one. That's a very hard one. What do you mean, like, in words?
Did you choose...
I chose one word, which I think was the cheesiest thing I could ever come up with. I just used the word charming on there, and I sort of split it up and said, you know, I sort of split up the words, the alphabets, into three separate sort of groups. So I split up one word, and then I looked at it and I said, I can't believe I've done that.
Charming,
did
you say?
Yeah.
Why did you choose charming?
I think it's an observation that close friends and family sort of, you know, seem to always tell me. So I thought, I just felt like that was, you know, it was the first word that came to mind, to be honest. It was probably being a little cheeky as well. I just went with it.
What's important to you at the moment, would you say, in life?
Beg your pardon?
What's important to you?
Anything that appeals to me, and I know it sounds a little vague, but I think like I said, self-expression is really, really important. You know, I find it very difficult to sort of fit in, if you may say, into like set ideas or sort of set bodies as such. And I really like the idea of sort of having the freedom and the choice, the freedom and choice to be able to sort of consciously, you know, step outside set systems as such and be able to just look at things in that perspective. I mean, for me, that's really, really important, and you know, it's something quite conscious. I'm really afraid of sort of, you know, fitting into, say, you know, being labeled, so to speak.
Why is that?
Because I just said, you know, I think it's because I suppose, you know, there's that pressure of then being someone expecting you to sort of be in a certain way, and there's no explanation really to being a certain way, is there? I think with every year that you add on to yourself, you sort of you just change as a person. You know, you add. You'd want. I mean, I'd really, really I'd like the idea of sort of adding on new things and growing as a person. You know, you make mistakes, yes, but that's part of the whole thing. And but even the goodness of being able to sort of, you know, absorb and new things and take on new things, I think is really, really something that is very important for me.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
I am very, very excited again, and I can't wait to put my skates on. I'm looking forward to just spending the hour on the plinth. Yeah, I'm also afraid of heckling, by the way.
How will you deal with that?
I'll probably just give them a laugh, send them blow kisses, and just turn away, maybe. Turn around.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.